Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on November 17th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, joining us today as co-host and co-interviewer is the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Mark Lips. And of course, with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
Excellent.
I'm doing great.
Excellent.
I always love, you know, I love it when we do this 8 o'clock show because I have this baritone, nice baritone voice that, you know.
I think, Mark, I am more excited about the South Bay Show and our partnership with the Manhattan Beach Chamber than ever. It really.
Why do I get the sense that you're sending me a bill? This is.
Because he is. Because
I just felt somebody's hand go in my pocket.
Oh,
yes,
well,
yes,
that didn't go.
That's the way it works.
So thank you very much, Joe. Thank you.
You're very
listen,
welcome.
Listen, you guys,
I saw
some news this morning.
Okay, what was
Mark,
it?
That will be affecting, have a major effect on Manhattan Beach.
Okay.
I read in the Daily Breeze this morning that Chief Irvine is accepting job as Chief of Police for Torrance.
Whoa. Really?
Whoa. Yes.
Is she
yes,
the first female Chief of Police for Torrance?
I don't know about Torrance. I know she was for Manhattan Beach, but
right.
There was just a small article in the Daily Breeze this morning. It hasn't officially been announced yet, you know, because they still have to do background check and all that stuff, which is just a formality. But, so she's coming over to my neck of the woods, Mark.
Well, I don't know. With everybody, with all that's going on now with the news and starting, you know, background checks, boy, everybody, I'm already lawyering up as well. So I just, you know, I'm making sure. Holy cow, which is a good thing, by the way. You know what? What's interesting? I wasn't at City Council last night because I was over at Hermosa City Council talking about the first of many meetings, what I think will be many meetings, Fiesta Hermosa and all that. So I did not know that, which is interesting, because, and you know what, maybe it's a precursor. I just sent out my notice for State of the City to all the politicos and the city management, all that. And I didn't put the fire department on there because Bob Espinosa resigned. He leaves in December.
Mm. Mm.
And I just forgot to put Chief Irvine on there. But maybe that was...
Everyone's
maybe that's what caused it all. She
knew.
Didn't see her name on State of the City. She quit and went to Congress.
No.
My gosh.
I've had it up here.
Just the kind of impact the Chamber of Commerce has. So, well, but here's
email.
The, okay. And listen, I love Eve, and I think she's great. Jackie, now you can pay her pension.
That's right. I'm going to be paying her pension now, but I'm thrilled because it's always great to, you know, be friendly with the chief of police, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know,
no, that's very,
you know,
cool. I'm going to call her
yeah,
and get off
no,
there. And,
yeah, good for her. Good for her. It's a bigger city. It'll be a bigger challenge for her, and she won't have as long as a commute to get from her home to Manhattan.
But, you know, I still want to know what's behind it all. You know, I'm going to talk to my son. You know, don't you think it's weird in the last 2 months that we got two major in our first responder areas leaving?
And they've already put in,
it's not like they're 15 years into their careers or 20. I mean, these guys are all 30 years in.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Want to leave Manhattan Beach to go to Torrance?
Hey, don't knock Torrance.
Boy.
I live in Torrance. It's a great
city.
It's
I'm talking about here. What's, you know, you baptize
you.
A few, you know, you someone trips on the sidewalk and, you know, or you, you know, someone shoplifts or takes a bicycle. I mean, that's the extent of your crime here for the most part.
But you know something, as you said, these are seasoned veterans. They have decades into their profession.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, you know, Torrance will be more of a challenge, I think. Manhattan Beach is fabulous.
Well, you know, but where
it's
came
a lot
from.
Smaller. It's a lot smaller city. Beach is a lot smaller city. But
right.
Torrance has 100,000 more people than
right.
Manhattan Beach. So,
I get that. But I don't think, you know what, she's a good choice for Torrance because, you know, before Manhattan Beach, she was almost 30 years in Inglewood.
Inglewood.
Right.
So she knows... Yeah. Big city. She knows what it's like to police all you. You know what gang are you in, Jackie?
Yeah.
Jackie.
And what are your colors?
I am the pink raspberry bike brigade gang.
Right.
That's me. Yeah.
Pink raspberry.
Yeah. So anyway,
that's cool. You know, I've got to look at that. Boy, that's kind of a scoop. I haven't seen that in the Daily Breeze.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yes. I'm excited. I'm very excited. And I didn't know is Bob Espinosa going someplace else or is he retiring?
Retiring.
Okay.
Yeah, he wants to go back to school even and get another degree. Hmm. Yeah. No, he's retiring. He's 60 years old or will be, and he just wants to hang with Laura and all the kids and. And,
he's putting in his time. He's putting his time. Good for him. All right. So we're going to get to it because this is a subject near and dear to my heart, Joe, what we're going to be talking about
merging
today.
Merging with the Hermosa Chamber? I agree.
Yeah.
We wanted to ask you about that, but we've got to get to something that I think Jackie has spent more money on than almost anyone I know.
Let's put it this way. If I have all the money that I spent on this subject, I could afford to buy that Tesla. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, Jackie, who are our guests today?
Okay, we have a couple of new chamber members as our guests this morning, Dr. Stephanie Onwugbusi, she will correct my spelling, I'm sure, my pronunciation, and Dr. Tara Van Houten from Bayview Pediatric Dental Group. Now, Dr. Stephanie's goal as a board-certified pediatric dentist is to allow children and their parents to have a positive experience learning about preventing tooth decay and maintaining optimal oral health. Now, as a mother, she understands how it feels to want the absolute best for your child, and if tooth decay does occur, she strives to give each child the best experience possible to avoid creating dental phobias or negative feelings. Dr. Stephanie attended Berkeley for her undergraduate degree, UCLA for dental school, and USC and Children's Hospital of Los Angeles for pediatric dental residency. She became a pediatric dentist in 2010, and her mission is to treat her patients as family and deliver the best care possible. Now, Dr. Terror's goal as a board-certified pediatric dentist is to provide warm, welcoming, and kid-friendly environment. She emphasizes prevention and education and encourages a team approach involving patients, their parents, and their pediatricians. Now, as a pediatric dentist, Dr. Terror treats children from 12 months old through adolescence, and she is competently trained and experienced in treating patients with special health care needs. Dr. Terror completed her bachelor's degree at the University of San Diego, followed by a doctorate degree from Loma Linda University School of Dentistry, and did her postdoctorate pediatric dentistry training at the University of Southern California and Children's Hospital of Orange County. Now, Dr. Terror is active in the community and volunteers with several worthy organizations. She's completed mission dentistry in Belize, Africa, and Mexico. She is also an associate professor of clinical dentistry at USC and Miller's Children's Hospital in Long Beach, where she supervises pediatric dental residents. Now, this morning, we'll discuss dentistry in general, and we'll learn what kind of advances have been made in the specialty of pediatric dentistry. Dr. Stephanie, Dr. Terror, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us on your show.
Of course, when I hear those resumes, you guys just make me feel so less than.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm going, oh, my gosh, what have I done with my life?
Well, I'm, especially when you're talking about serving children in other countries, that's
right.
Really special. Dr. Terror, can you tell us a little bit about that experience? What was that like?
Sure. That was actually while I was in dental school. Loma Linda had this great program where they helped dental students, the financial part of going on these trips, and they kind of sponsored us and allowed us to go spend time in these different countries and kind of see the world and see dentistry, not just here in the United States and kind of what we're used to kind of globally. And it really just opens your eyes to the need. There is such a need for, especially children, these poor children that, you know, have no other means of getting this work done. And we really got to go and try to make a difference and kind of open our eyes to everything that the world goes through, not just here in America.
Hey, Dr. Terror, but so you're coming from a first class educational program, and you're
yes.
going over to some of these places. I mean, were you shocked by all of a sudden not having a piece of equipment that you're used to having, was it pretty bare bones?
It was pretty bare bones. They had it kind of set up. ADEC, that's a dental company. They were wonderful and donated these portable dental units. So surprisingly, we had a handpiece or a little drill or what you'd call it. We had our, you know, we were able to do cleanings. We were able to do kind of the things we needed to do. A lot of it was, unfortunately, a lot of extractions and getting people
right.
out of pain. But a lot of
I just
of
envisioned
education.
You showing up to some of these areas and they hand you a screwdriver or something and, you know.
Oh.
You know, we were nervous about that, but you never know.
No.
Well, but that's
okay.
No, Mark
but
is
some of these places, or pliers, not a screwdriver, pliers. The
forceps aren't that different.
Yeah, well, that's awesome for your company that they were willing that they did that then that they did. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
okay, I have to ask Joe and Mark. Now I got the bad dental gene pool. All right. Now I don't.
Or you
know,
wouldn't know it.
As I said, I've spent enough money on my teeth.
Dollars.
I could afford that. Yeah. So Joe, what's your dental history? Are you one of the lucky ones, or are you in my boat, or are you somewhere in between?
I have had a reasonably good dental sort of history. I did not have a boatload of cavities. I had one or two when I was a teenager, but for the most part, a good dental history. Now, the difference came when our children had some issues because I have a larger jaw and my wife has a smaller jaw, and then you put those two together with a child. And so at one point, my daughter Olivia had, I want to say, 11 extractions in one. It was a marathon session.
Holy
yeah,
one
my
day.
Goodness. Wow.
11.
Wow. Well,
because they were
well,
trying to make
you
room
should have used
in
a
her
dentist
jaw.
For that, Joe. You
I mean,
should have used a dentist.
Well, Mark, hey, I'm the father. I can do things. So I just went after it with pliers, like you were saying, Mark.
My teeth, I think my teeth have always been pretty good too. But I'm noticing, and you guys, docs will probably weigh in on this. As you age, I'm assuming they just get more brittle.
Well, they move too. But anyway, so what, the point I wanted to make is, from the time I was a kid, I was in the dentist. I've always been in the dentist. I still go to the dentist. I have to go in and get my teeth cleaned every 3 months. I use all sorts of special devices, prescription
wow.
rinses and toothpaste and all this other stuff. But what's amazing to me is how much the field of dentistry has advanced. And every day there's a new thing. Dr. Stephanie, first please pronounce your last name correctly and then tell us about the advances in dentistry, particularly pediatrics.
Well, yeah, you actually weren't too far off. It's on Waybussy, so you did pretty good. yeah, I mean, especially as pediatric dentists, you know, we just want to keep the experience positive for kids. You know, so we have, you know, what's called laughing gas or nitrous oxide, and it really helps relax the kids and let them have a positive experience. You know, we use a lot of positive language and, you know, keep it child-friendly and make sure that everything that we talk about and do is understandable to the child and not at all, you know, intimidating or scary. And then also, I mean, we've learned so much about prevention. So our goal would be to never have to treat any cavities. That would be amazing. You know, cavities, it's the number one chronic disease of children in America. And, you know, 56% of kids have cavities by age 6. And so, you know, our goal is to talk about prevention. And we've learned a lot about how cavities are prevented, you know, through diet and hygiene and fluoride. And so a lot of that stuff we didn't know, you know, many years ago. So that's our number one goal, is to try to prevent it in the first place.
Dr. Stephanie, now without interrupting you, Mark,
mm-hmm.
now without I'll interrupting
try.
You, Dr. Stephanie, we would like to know what causes cavities in children.
Well, there's a couple different ways. So you have plaque on your teeth that's not quite being brushed away or flossed away properly. And so that bacteria in the plaque, it demineralizes and breaks down the enamel of the teeth. Also, a lot of it's through diet. So the bacteria that's in our mouth, whenever we eat or drink sugars or carbohydrates, whether or not they're healthy, they get broken down into lactic acid, and that also eats away at the teeth. So the biggest thing is just, you know, handling the diet and changing the frequency of sugar and carb intake, and then also making sure that you're getting fluoride to help remineralize the teeth. So it's really a triad of the fluoride, prevention, diet, and hygiene.
What about juice? Would that be considered
yes, definitely
a cause?
Juice. Mm-hmm.
So Joe,
absolutely.
how many soccer games when they were 4 and 5 years old did you go to where there were like 80,000 juice boxes?
Right, right.
And
that's
and,
the
or
big deal.
The, or the parents would just hand their kid a juice box. And, you know, whenever.
Now, the key there, Mark, is my life as an urban farmer, I've learned that the juice box, bad. Fresh fruit, good. It's the chewing. It's the mastication
some fresh fruit.
Of fresh fruit. Well, but in general, juice box, bad. Fresh fruit, good. So oranges
are great.
I knew he'd
get that farmer stuff in there.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Guys, we have a couple of experts here on the line with us. They can tell
hey,
us that. They,
Dr. Tara,
tell us.
Where do you come down on the controversy? Fresh fruit
well, yeah,
or
so
juice
the
box?
Juice, all of, yeah, so all of the sugars and carbs get broken down when food is processed. you know, such as in juice or smoothies. And so the sugars become more readily available to be broken down into acid. Whereas if you just eat an apple, you know, you not only have the crunchiness of the apple that's stimulating saliva flow, but you also don't have, you have the whole fiber of the fruit. And so it does, an apple juice will cause cavities more than a pure apple.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. So pediatric dentistry, all I remember, and it, you know, it's like a recurring nightmare. When we were kids, my parents, you know, took us to the dentist who had to be about 98 years old. And he had this giant, it was black mat, and it was a huge piece of equipment, and it had all these arms coming out from it with all of these sharp appliances at the end of it. And there was buzzing and drilling noises, and it
sounds
was
like
dramatic.
A doctor.
It was like an alien movie. Now I haven't been in a pediatric dentist office in many years. So what's changed
there? Come
on
by.
what's changed there?
Well, I mean, definitely, you know, like when the kid walks into the room, you know, we have a lot of things covered, or you know, not within easy sight, and we have different injection, you know, equipment that's called the magic wand.
Subterfuge.
Yeah.
Little slight.
And then just
hand.
The language, you know, we tell the parents, you know, we actually don't say drill, we don't say shot, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, we have just special words, and we get away with a lot when the kids leave with a nice positive experience, and they ask their mom, when can I come back? And, you know, that's like the best feeling for us.
I bet.
When they walk in the door, though, when they walk into the actual office, is pretty kid-friendly environment? Do you feel like you're going into a clinical situation or?
Well, our office, we made it more like you're walking into a home.
Perfect.
We have like a kind of a Nantucket kind of home vibe going on. And then, you know, we see kids even through college, so we don't really have like a, you know, it's not like a baby theme. It's more just, it's comfortable for everybody. You know, parents feel like they're in a spa kind of environment. And,
you have kids in college?
Yes, yeah, we see kids through college.
I thought pediatrics stopped at 18.
No, I mean, we see them, you know, as long as they're comfortable still being here and don't mind the kids around, you know.
Oh,
I mean, I see patients in their early 30s who don't want to leave. They still go to the treasure box and get their prize.
I would rather come in there myself, and I'm 61, because I don't want to hear the word shot or, you know, those words.
Have many
words.
Parents
you
asking
be,
if they can be seen.
And cover the equipment and, you know,
and Mark,
everybody.
And you can get a point. And you can get a
I have another medical question here. Several years ago, I heard that there is either a fluoride rinse or a fluoride pill or something that you can literally start giving your kids once they have teeth. And this is what I heard. I heard that if you do that, cavities go out the window. Dr. Terror, what's up with that?
There have definitely been a lot of advances with the fluoride. I think what you're talking about, a lot of parents will do, or pediatricians used to prescribe drops a lot. But with kind of the public water, a lot of our city waters have fluoride added for that specific reason. It's a very safe amount. Kids actually drink the tap water. They get plenty of fluoride systemically or in their body, and it's able to get to their teeth and their bones that are growing in there. In their jaw. So actually we prefer parents giving their kids the tap water. Manhattan Beach has perfect amount of fluoride in the city water.
Oh,
a lot of parents,
man,
though,
that is great.
Do, yeah, it's wonderful. And it's free or technically free. But a lot of parents will put in filters. So like a reverse osmosis filter, unfortunately, will remove all that fluoride.
And it takes all the fluoride out. Oh, wow.
Oh,
that's an interesting take on it.
Yeah. And by the way, how many people are drinking tap water? Everybody drinks bottled water these
days.
No kidding.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah, so no one's
I gotta
getting
write
that benefit.
Okay,
we
got to
write something like that in my Happy Friday. That's interesting.
The next time the kid says, I need some water, say, go drink out of the garden hose.
Perfect.
Right?
They'll be strengthening their teeth.
I have to run to this appointment.
I love meeting
you guys. I want to come over and see your space, but you'd probably be busy back there doing what you do.
Come on by anytime.
But I would love to come by, and thank you for joining the chamber. And you guys, we should have you speak at one of our luncheons too.
Absolutely.
We'd love to.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, Jackie,
all right,
Joe,
we'll
happy Friday. I've got to
happy
take
Friday.
Off for this appointment.
Happy Friday.
And happy right. Thanksgiving, because we're in reruns next week. Happy Thanksgiving,
that's right.
Mark.
All right.
All
have
right.
a great have
right.
a great vegetable filled Thanksgiving, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Oh gosh, this is the top. Oh, I'm dying to ask what you're going to do to substitute turkey this year, but we won't get into it now.
It's terrible.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
I think we might have salmon is one suggestion. We're gonna
okay.
bite the bullet and have some fish.
Okay. All right. Get your omega 3s.
Yeah. But this is fascinating, doctors, Dr. Tara. When you talk about pediatric dentistry, can you tell us some of the major advances that you think? I mean, obviously, you guys together, both you, Dr. Tara and Dr. Stephanie, are creating a welcoming environment, and you're doing all the smart stuff. You don't have to mention shot. You don't have to mention drill. These are things that any intelligent dentist could do without a lot of technology. But tell us, Dr. Tara, about some of the new techniques and technologies that are affecting pediatric dentistry now that maybe weren't around 5 or 10 years ago.
Definitely. It's hard to keep up. It's changing all the time. Dr. Stephanie mentioned we have what's called the wand here in our office. So instead of that big, scary syringe coming at you, and we do unfortunately have to numb a child, it looks more like we're holding a little magical wand or a pen. It's very small. It's computerized injection technique, and most kids have no idea we're even doing it. Most parents don't even know we're doing it. It's a very, kids don't notice it, and they're fuzzy. We talk about sleepy juice, and it makes that part of dentistry, the hardest part of numbing somebody, so much easier for everybody involved. That's been a huge advance. We are very excited to have that in our office.
What does it do? What is the wand?
So it's basically the same idea. It's a needle on one end, and it's the anesthetic or the numbing agent, just like you would use a big, scary syringe. But it's in this little computerized system, so you just hold a little pen that has the needle attached, and you step on a pedal, and it just drops the anesthetic slowly. It tests the pressure, and it allows you to give the anesthetic technically pain-free most of the time.
Oh, I'm coming to you guys. I'm coming to you guys.
Wow.
I'm coming to you guys. You guys.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. It's real. It's yeah, for sure. Come on in anytime.
You know, what my dentist has used for years is there's a numbing agent. I think I get the banana flavor, and he puts it on the edge of a Q-tip, and he puts that on. It numbs it a little bit, and then I get the big shot. But speaking of that. Novocaine, I know, has historically been used to numb you when you're getting work done on your teeth. But I've always had an issue with Novocaine. It makes me shaky. And my dentist knows that. So he always gives me the least amount possible. I start shaking in the chair. Have there been any advances made on that front? Are there things other than Novocaine, or is that still the go-to numbing agent?
Well, it's kind of that version of it. It's all pretty similar. We call it lidocaine or xylocaine. It does have epinephrine in it, and that's probably what makes
right.
it feel a little shaky. There
right.
are different versions now that have no epinephrine. So, yeah, they definitely have had some advances with that, but it's pretty – there's kind of a set – probably 3 or 4 that most dentists will be using.
Yeah.
Been consistent.
Yeah, the epinephrine, that's what makes me shaky. That's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
Joe, you don't have these
Beautiful.
Issues, do you, Joe?
Well, I haven't been to a dentist in, I would say, a year. My annual checkups are usually pretty good. I had to have a crown recently, broke a tooth at Disneyland. It was horrible. but it was on the Matterhorn, and I just don't get on that ride anymore. It's just too bumpy, and so I'm sorry.
What'd you do? Hit the safety bar with your teeth?
No,
it was
it shook
your crown loose.
Oh my goodness! No, this was when I crunched my tooth and broke my tooth. Was on the Matterhorn, and then I had to have a crown put on because I broke my tooth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, I got it.
Normally I just go for cleanings, and this particular dentist, Dr. Gould, I'll do a shout out for Dr. Gould, Modern Dentistry in Manhattan Beach. They are fantastic. If you like that sort of adult dentistry thing, they are fantastic, Modern Dentistry. And I only go for cleanings now, generally. And they're so thorough. Big deal.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad for you. No, I think I have about 11 crowns. I have implants. I think I've had 6 root canals. It kind of never ends for me. I have the plaque issue. I have the plaque issue, Dr. Stephanie, with the plaque. I mean, in my case, as I said, it's a genetic thing, right?
Yeah, there's some genetic components involved.
Yeah. I mean, we've tried everything we can to alleviate that, mitigate it, but it is what it is, you know. It's my cross to bear.
Yeah.
But I love my dentist. I love my dentist, you know. I'm not one of these people that, because I have a nice smile. My teeth look really nice, you know. So if I want to keep them looking nice, I got to keep going to my dentist. So I don't have an issue with that. I know a lot of people don't like to. So, yeah.
Now, Dr. Stephanie, let's talk about. I mean, with children, you've got your programs that you adhere to, which are, you know, in Marx terminology, it's subterfuge and magic and tricking people, no needles. What are you talking about? You got needles all over this place and, you know, things like that. But how do you approach an individual? And in this case, it would be a child who the first mention of the word dentist screams bloody murder.
So, you know, we do have some patients who will come in and we can't even get a cleaning done on them or, you know, not even take an x-ray or, you know, we call it a picture to make that even sound more comfortable. But we do sometimes have what are called desensitization visits, and we'll just, the parents will just bring the kid in and we just hang out. And then, you know, the kid just realizes, you know, that we're nice people and they become comfortable with the office environment. And sometimes they'll just sit there and maybe they'll let you put a mirror in their mouth, you know, and that's what they do that day. And we make a really big deal about that and, you know, say they did a great job. And sometimes it takes one of those visits. Sometimes I've had one where I've seen a kid, you know, 5 times and it went from they wouldn't even sit in the chair to now I've done fillings on them. And most of it's just letting them develop, you know, trust in you. And then just having them be proud of themselves for just the little baby steps that it takes to get to the end, and that oftentimes helps. We do use also, once they, you know, are comfortable enough to lay in the chair and get things done, we do have nitrous oxide, which does help reduce anxiety and discomfort. And, you know, they stay wide awake for the whole thing, even while they're breathing that. But it just really helps take the edge off. And when they're done, you know, all of the nitrous is completely gone from their body and they go get a prize and they go home. And yeah, so we have a lot of different things to help those kind of patients.
We didn't have prizes when I was a kid.
No prizes. I hope you guys have a big waiting room, because after any parent with children that are entering that age where, you know, there's a lot of changes for children in terms of their dentistry, along with puberty and everything else, you got to look at the dental and the course orthodonture and all that. But you guys are going to need a bigger waiting room. It's going to be filled. I've never heard exactly a dentist office or two principals in a dentist practice that are as organized with a program of, you know, care as you guys. this is really amazing.
Yeah. How many, I mean, I would imagine that in some of the bigger dental offices, they probably have one dentist that specializes in pediatric dentistry, but how many strictly pediatric dentists are there? Is that a big field?
No, I just heard this number. I think nationally there are about 6,000 of us. California
what?
In particular, I mean, yeah. It's not that big of a field when you look at all the other specialties. You have to be a little bit odd to want to work with kids maybe in their mouths, but we love it.
Well, I would imagine, no, I would imagine that, like when I go in for my cleaning, it's like a 40-minute appointment. But with the kids, I imagine your appointments have to be a little longer, or no, because their mouths are smaller, you don't have as much to clean.
Well, they have less teeth. Most kids only have the, you know, their 20 baby teeth that we have to worry about. But our first visits are a little lengthier. We spend a lot of time, like you said, with the kids, taking the time with the kids. But we also spend a lot of time with parents and just trying to get them on board with kind of our practice philosophy. And our goal is prevention. We don't want to have
right.
to do a filling on a child. So we spend that time to educate the parents, go over what causes a cavity, what they can do, simple things at home to kind of prevent their kids from going down that decay or cavity route. So
the first visit's
a little longer, but a lot of it is education with parents.
Educate the parents. That's always the thing, because they're older. They don't know the newer stuff. Now, speaking of, you mentioned baby teeth. You know, we all know that our first teeth are baby teeth that, you know, all eventually fall out or should fall out naturally. How much work do you do on baby teeth?
So that is a big question. A lot of parents think, oh, they'll be out. All the baby teeth will be out by 6. Unfortunately, the very back baby molars are there for a lot of kids until 12 or 13. So
right.
we don't, you know, some kids do get cavities on their front teeth. It's rare we have to do fillings on those, honestly. The back teeth are usually, if we're going to do a filling or any type of dental work, it's typically those back baby molars, because they're there long enough where the kid eventually can get a toothache or an infection if we leave the cavities there.
That was
the
issue with my daughter. She had to have baby teeth removed to make room for her mature teeth coming in.
Yeah, that's happening a lot too. A lot of kids pretty crowded and trying to fit all those new big teeth into those little jaws.
Yeah. No, I remember my niece had to have all of her molars removed to make room. But let me ask you something. I know from my own experience that I have issues with, you know, with bone loss. Now, would cavities in baby teeth help to create bone loss, or is that something completely different? Like, if you don't take care of the baby teeth in the beginning, it'll cause deeper issues?
Well, an issue that can happen if you don't take care of baby teeth, if let's say you lose a baby molar early and there's a big empty hole there. What tends to happen is the jaw, the teeth will change, and it kind of changes the shape of the jaw, and the adult teeth may not, when they come in at 12, may not have a space to come into, or that, you know, it's off misaligned, and it makes cleaning that area so much more difficult. So as an adult, you're struggling to clean an area, which then food builds up, plaque builds up, and it's kind of a vicious cycle. You get these deep little perio pockets, and eventually you get bone loss. And so ideally, it's kind of a whole big system. We want to be taking care of our teeth from the very beginning so that we keep our jaws and teeth as healthy as we can.
It's all about prevention, Joe.
Yes. I love this. I want to do a quick station break, and then we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking pediatric dentistry with two experts, Dr. Tara and Dr. Stephanie of Bayview Pediatric Dental. And they are new members of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, and we're thrilled to highlight what they do, because it's not just about the implements of dentistry, the tools, the toys, so to speak, and they have real toys, but it's about an approach, and this approach is so refreshing. Thank you for joining us. We've talked about a lot of different things, but Jackie?
Yeah, no, when did you open Bayview? When did you start this practice?
We opened Bayview in August. We've both been practicing pediatric dentistry since 2010, but we've opened this office in August.
Okay, all right. Okay, great. So you opened the office in August. You're members of the chamber now. You're on the South Bay Show. You're on the map. Everybody's going to know you now.
Yeah, thank you.
So I have to ask, only because this is something that, again, I have all this experience in dentistry. My dentist in the last 10 years or so, he used to do everything for me. Now he sends me to specialists for almost everything, even root canals now, because apparently, gosh, I don't know the details, but I guess they used to think there were only three nerves, and then they found four, and now it takes a specialist to do a root canal. Do the two of you find yourself having to send your patients to I know there's orthopedics, you know, that's an obvious one, but for periodontics and stuff, do you send your patients to others, or are you full service?
Well, if a child has, like I said, we do see people through college. So, you know, if they do have gum recession or any issues, we'll refer them to a periodontist. Sometimes a child will break their permanent tooth. You know, they fall off a bike and they break their front tooth. So if they end up needing a root canal, we'll refer to an endodontist. And then, like you said, obviously, you know, an orthodontist is a very common referral that we have. So we definitely, you know, we refer when necessary.
That's something new. I remember that. My dentist did, as I said, many of my root canals. In the last one or two, he referred me to somebody else. And I was like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Joe, what about your kids? You've got three kids. I know they're all grown now, but what about them growing up? Did they get the good dental gene or like you? Or?
Again, you know, my wife is Irish American. I'm African American. And so our genes together meant tall, lanky. My son is like 6'4". My daughter, my middle daughter, Olivia, she had an issue with a small jaw size. She has the jaw of my wife and the teeth of me, so that was an issue. But now she has a beautiful mouth of teeth. They all went through we have some great professionals here in the South Bay that really helped them through. They don't have any issues now. They've been through a great program of orthodonture and had a great set of braces for a while, and now they're all doing pretty good.
Okay, so that's a great segue. Doctors, I have to ask you, what is your position on orthodontics? Because it seems to me like every kid now, they hit a certain age and they get the braces put on. It didn't always used to be like that. When I was growing up, I had one friend that had braces. We had one friend that had braces growing up. So what is your thought process on that? Do you say, well, let's wait until here and see what happens? Do you look at the parents' experiences? How do you deal with that? Or do parents just come in and say, I want my kids to get braces?
It's kind of a combination. A lot of kids are very aware at a younger age now of their teeth. So it is a combination of parents coming in and saying, hey, my kid's asking about this. And I think it's because a lot of their friends are now getting braces younger. But there is a shift in kind of the thought. It used to be everyone would wait until all the baby teeth fell out and all the adult teeth are in. If you wait that long, a lot of times most of the growth that kids go through is complete. So if there's a jaw, an actual jaw issue, there's not much an orthodontist can do to adjust that growth or the jaw size, except extract permanent teeth. If you can go in young, there's kind of red flags we look for with little kids, any types of, you know, the cross bite or the bulldog bite or any, severe crowding where there's like a delay of the permanent teeth coming in. Just little things, it's typically a jaw problem. We can go in early, and orthodontists can go in early and kind of help with jaw growth. And if you're helping kind of mold and form the jaw while the child is still growing, a lot of the adult teeth kind of just fall into place, and then minor orthodontics will be needed when they're teenagers. So it's kind of one of those things, around 7 or 8 years old, it's a good idea to have an orthodontist take a look at your teeth, your child's teeth, and kind of see, are there any of those big red flags? Or is it okay to kind of let them continue down and let the rest of those baby teeth fall out?
Interesting. Right. Interesting. I remember my niece had something where she had, I think it was a bar, it was something where they had to make more room in her mouth. She had some sort of device.
A little expander, probably. They turn the little key. Yep.
Yes.
Yes. When, so that's...
when she would come out to visit me, she would spend like a month with me during the summer, and every day I would have to take this little key and adjust the expander for her.
Yep. Yeah. So that's kind of helping. I was helping her jaw kind of grow while she was still growing.
Huh. You didn't know any of this, did you?
Right. No, I didn't.
Very exciting.
I did not.
See, you learn something new. We learn something new every day on this show.
We do. And we meet new amazing professionals in the South Bay who have something special for us all. So let's start with some contact information early. We'll do this again, but Dr. Stephanie, how do people get in touch with Bayview Pediatric Dental?
Well, they can, you know, call our office. The phone number is 310-683-5576. We also have a website that you can visit, Bayview, either pdg.com, or you can type out BayviewPediatricDentalGroup.com, and on there you can contact us and, you know, send us an email, and we can schedule you through there. So either way, works great.
Excellent. It's so refreshing. You know, I work very hard in my business to look for every angle of my approach to urban farming, and certainly serving clients and customers face-to-face at farmers markets, and the industry, what's growing, what's hot to grow, and so forth. And you guys are really, it's obvious that you spend a lot of time thinking about what does it look like to a parent, or what does it look like to a child when they walk in the door, and what is their experience? Looking at your business from your customer's point of view, that's the key to a successful business long term. I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you. We're trying. We are, you know, things kind of change. We're both moms. We both have two young kids at home, and it honestly, it changes your perspective being a parent and having to sit in a parent's shoes and go through these medical experiences, going to the dentist or the doctor or wherever you need to go. So it definitely made us hyper aware of what parents go through. And we tried to make that as comfortable for the whole family when they come see us.
Right.
That's the important thing. That's comfort, to be comfortable. You don't want a kid screaming and trying to claw its way out the door once it gets there. Now, no, seriously. I mean, God knows I've been there. I've been there. But let me ask you something, because I know my dentist is always going to conferences. Not just my dentist, my hygienist. They have dental conferences for hygienists, because, as I said earlier in the show, it's almost like every day there's new advances being made. I mean, it sounds to me like just keeping up with what's going on in your industry is like a full-time job. Tell us about that.
It really is. Being on faculty at USC, part of the dental school there, I'm fortunate that that's where a lot of dental research is done. And, you know, the students are all really excited to be using all these new innovative techniques. And I get to see and witness and try different things in a school setting, which is wonderful. And I see what works and can bring it into my private practice. So that's been fantastic to be able to do that. But yeah, definitely things are changing. We have what are called continuing education requirements. So that's probably why your dentist and hygienist are always taken off. We are mandated by the state to continue our education in order to maintain our professional licenses. So a lot of us try to make it fun, go to fun cities when we do our education. But Yeah, our AAPD, or American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, they host a big annual event once a year. This year it's Hawaii. We're going to try to make it. But
oh, how nice.
I know. That's just such a terrible place to have a conference.
I've got to work. Oh, my God. I got to go
I
to
know,
Hawaii.
It's
going to
be a rough conference this year.
They got to go. Oh, you poor things. Yeah, well, I can tell you right now, the dentist that my parents went to, that has to be a new thing that they require that you keep up your education, because years ago, my old dentist was not keeping up on it. Trust me. He was using stuff I think he was using techniques they still used in the dark ages. I'm absolutely positively sure. All right. So this is the big important part of the show. All right. Will you give us some advice and suggestions, recommendations? Because there's so many dental products out there. The toothbrushes, the toothpaste, the rinses. Gosh, on the internet a couple of weeks ago, I saw a toothbrush. It's a device you stick in your mouth, and it brushes your teeth for you. I mean, there's so much stuff going on. So take your time and go through and tell us, in your opinion, from your experience, what you think are the best products to use. If you want to use name brands, feel free. Tell us, give us some good advice on products.
Definitely. So for kids specific, I'll kind of start there. It's kind of the biggest thing is the easiest. It's the toothbrush bristles. It doesn't matter what kind of toothbrush, it's actually getting the toothbrush to actually brush the teeth and the gums. However you can get in there to do it is what you want to do. My kids, I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. I learned it's not easy to get in there. They like to bite the brush. They like to do this, like to that. So we use a spin brush. There's all kinds of fun spin brushes. If you got to make sure it's age appropriate, it'll tell you the age. You go to a grocery store, you look through that. The whole aisle, there's endless. But anything that can make it exciting and fun. There are all kinds of new. You can get like the Disney version princess, you know, Ariel toothbrush, and it has an app. You can download the app, and it has a timer, and you can brush for 2 minutes with Ariel while she brushes her teeth. There's all kinds of fun, innovative brushing. The basic concept, though, is a toothbrush bristle needs the brush itself needs to touch your kid's teeth. However, you can get in there. As far as the toothpaste for kids, it's kind of the same for everybody. It needs to have what's called the American Dental Association seal of approval. So I'm sure you've never looked, but if you look at your tube of toothpaste, it should have that little ADA seal of approval on it. Most toothpastes down the aisle will have that. The next thing is flavor. Kids are so picky. A lot of the mints will not work. A great brand that I personally use with my kids and that I highly recommend is Tom's of Maine. It's very natural. They take a lot of the coloring and all the fun stuff out, but it still has a nice little mild flavor for the kids, and it does have the proper amount of fluoride. So Silly Strawberry is a particular one we use at our house and here in the office. The other big thing for adults that can be tough is floss. There are endless versions of floss. The biggest thing is just getting between your teeth. So they have the thin threaded flosses. They have the thicker floss if you have more spaces. You just kind of have to figure out which type works. For kids, it's pretty easy. Most of their teeth, and a lot of kids have spaces where they do touch. You want to get that floss and it can just be the standard type of floss. The next area will be the mouthwash. We don't typically recommend a fluoride rinse for young kids, starting around 6 when they're really able to spit, you can start incorporating a fluoride rinse. We typically recommend ACT, A-C-T. They've got great all kinds of different fun flavors, and it's just that little bit of extra fluoride you can have your kids swish and spit with right before bed, and it kind of helps wash between the teeth and all around the teeth. As adults, we have more of the gum disease issues or periodontal issues. So I think anything that can help with the gums, like Listerine, is a great option. They also have a Listerine with fluoride added that I particularly use. The purple Listerine is what I call it. So it does great for the gums, and it has the fluoride for the teeth. Trying to think other big ones. There are prescriptions. So there are those people that, like you said, just genetically, they have softer enamel, softer teeth. more prone to cavities. So there are all a huge array of prescription type of fluorides that your dentist can prescribe for you, and different prescription type rinses that can also be prescribed. But typically your dentist will let you know if you need that type of prescription. For kids, if they're more prone to cavities, we have things called MI paste, which is a toothpaste that adds calcium and phosphate with the fluoride. So those kids that are really high risk for cavities, that they just come in every visit, they have a new cavity, we'll usually recommend that. We usually will prescribe it or recommend it. I just said a whole bunch of stuff.
No, that's great. That's great. You know what my favorite, I don't know how new it is, it's been around for a while. My favorite devices are those picks. They're like some sort of plastic, and they have little teeth. It's like a bottle cleaner, sort of. And
A little brush on that.
Because I've always had an issue with floss getting it where it should be. And several years ago, my dentist gave me these picks, and I get them. I buy 1,000 of them at a time at Costco. And they come. They have the pack comes with a couple of little, very slim boxes. So I keep a box in my car. I keep a box in my desk. I keep a box in my purse, and I have them in my bathroom. So anytime after I have something to eat, I can just sit there with the pick. It's not like a wooden toothpick. It's plastic. It's flexible. And it has like the bottle brush on the end, and you can get in between all your teeth. And I just find it a lot easier than floss. So I'm a big, big fan of that.
Definitely works great with adults. Kids, it's hard to get the little things in between their teeth, but for adults, that's definitely a great option.
You know, I actually, one of my nephews or nieces, I can't remember which one it was having an issue with flossing. So I actually bought them the 250 pack of these picks, and they love using them. They love using
That's
them.
That's great.
You know? Yeah. You see, I told you I was very experienced in this topic, Joe.
You sure are. I think you should have been a dentist in another life.
Yeah. And as far as toothpaste and stuff goes, I started having an issue. I noticed a couple of years, not even a couple of years, maybe a year and a half ago, because I use I use the whole Crest thing. The toothpaste, the mouthwash, the whitener. You know, they have a whole series, Crest 3D whitening, and I had been using that, and I found that the toothpaste was leaving a film in my mouth. And it was very annoying. And next time I went into my dentist, I spoke to them, and they said, you know, they're putting stuff in toothpaste now that maybe wasn't in it before. So I recently switched to Spry toothpaste. What do you say about that one? Do you have any experience with that one?
A little bit. We use more that their product for what's called xylitol. Xylitol is a sugar alcohol, a sugar alternative that bacteria cannot utilize. So the sugar is what bacteria use for food. And so if you can incorporate xylitol into dental products, you're basically, or food even, as a substitute for sugar, you're basically starving out the bacteria. So a lot of products, a lot of dental companies, a lot of dental products are adding xylitol to them. I know Spry does that as far as their mints and different things. As far as their toothpaste, we typically don't use it too much for kids, but I think for adults, it's definitely a great option.
Well, the issue went away. The film, whatever was causing that filming in my mouth, went away.
Perfect. Then
once
it's,
I started
then it's doing
using
its
it.
Job. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And one other thing, I love sharing my dental issues with the whole world here.
That's great.
I'm learning so much.
You're learning so much. And you're so lucky, Joe, that you don't have to deal with these issues. But we were using, our dentist recommended this electric toothbrush several years ago. And, you know, the first time I used it, I was like, this is bad design. You know, I'm using an appliance that is supposed to, and it's just bad design, whether keeping it clean or the positioning of the buttons on it. I was constantly turning it off. I recently switched to Oral-B has a new rotating toothbrush out that is unbelievable. I'm thrilled with it. I'm brushing my teeth like a whole bunch a day. Anyway, I'm very happy, and we learned a lot, Joe, and we got to wrap it up.
You're going to brush your teeth a whole bunch today. Well, Dr. Stephanie, and it's Owegobi? Help me with that.
So that's for Dr. Stephanie. She had to step out, but it's Dr. Onwebisi. Stephanie Onwebisi.
It's simple. Dr. Stephanie Onwebisi. And Dr. Tara Van Houten, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, well, thank you for having us on your show.
Thank you. You guys are such a valuable introduction or addition to the professional class here in the South Bay. We needed someone to really shake it up for pediatric dentistry and bring, you know, just more, I guess, style to pediatric dentistry. Thank you so much.
Well, thank
and thank you.
You,
Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you know a child, or if you have a child, or if you are a child, pediatric Bayview Pediatric Dental is the place for you. BayviewPDG.com, Bayview Pediatric Dental Group, all spelled out, .com. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll see you soon. Have a great weekend. And, oh, Jackie, we're out next week.
We're out next week. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Regardless of what you eat as turkey or some substitute for turkey, enjoy family and friends and football, and have a wonderful holiday. We'll see you in not next week, but the week after. Bye-bye.